Good evening, everyone. This is Tuesday, March 4th, 2025, 5:30 p.m. We're here for our regular scheduled council meeting. I'm going to call this meeting to order. Could I get a roll call, please?
All council members are present.
Thank you. We're going to start with an invocation from Captain John Burks from Salvation Army. If you'd like to join us, please stand.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being with us tonight. We ask that as we go about the business of the city, that you'd be present in it, that you would move us to the right decisions, and that you will help us grow the city into what you would want have out of it. We thank you so much for all those who serve, not only on the council, but also fire and also the city police, Lord. We thank you. We ask you protect them. Lord, I thank you so much for all you have done for each one of us. And I ask that you would just continue to bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Before we start with our call to public, I just want to bring something up. We had a workshop prior to this. In our agenda setting and everything we knew, we were going to do it right after our tour of the animal shelter, and it was supposed to start at 4:45. We started prior to that. I'd like to apologize for the council. No action was taken in this meeting. We basically went over a couple items, and we will be having another workshop to follow up on this. It is available online for everyone to see. I just want to let that known that we were supposed to start at 4:45, and we did start a little earlier. With that being said, we're going to start with our call to the public. If you're here as a group, there must be at least four people here with that group, and you get 5 minutes. Let us know ahead of time, and we'll make sure you get your 5 minutes. Otherwise, as an individual, you get 3 minutes. With that being said, who would like to come up first?
Good evening, City Council and Mayor. I'm here to announce our Colorado River. I'm Barbara Pape. Sorry about that. I'm here to announce our Colorado River Republican monthly meeting. It's going to be tomorrow, Wednesday, March 5th, at 1260 Mojave Drive. It's at the Chaparral Country Club. Our guest speakers are going to be John Martell of Mojave Electric Co-op and author of The Free Market Warrior, Mr. Lauren Spavik. This is a luncheon, and you do not have to eat there or join us, but we always welcome our community to our meetings. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Next.
Thank you, Mayor D'Amico, Vice Mayor Alfonso, council members, and staff. My name is Diana Lestat. I'm the current luxury knight at Bullhead City, Elks Lodge, number 2408. We will be hosting a golf tournament, and again, I just wanted to announce it again, on April 12th to benefit the Steele Children's Research Center and Hospital. Come join us for the day, and you just might win a car. The first hole-in-one on the eighth hole will get a car valued at roughly $40,000, courtesy of Swanties in Bullhead. There will also be prizes for closest to the hole and longest drive, as well as door prizes. Doctors and scientists at Steele Research Center are investigating potential remedies for dozens of childhood diseases. The center is also teaching the next generation of physicians to heal children. The Elks Pediatric Clinic at the center sees over 65,000 children a year, most at no charge. Additionally, the Elks have donated books, toys, beanies, and blankets to sick children so that no child goes home empty-handed. Donations will also go to help the Jack C. Warder Elks Youth Camp, run by the Arizona Elks Association, which is open to all youth groups free of cost. This will be a four-player scramble at the Mojave Resort Golf Course, 9905 Ahamaka Parkway in Laughlin. The cost is $100 per player, and you can also help by sponsoring a hole for $100. There will be an awards presentation afterward at the Elks Lodge at the corner of Hancock and Emerald with food and beverages available. Registration deadline is April 1st. Make your checks payable to BHCBPOE 2408. You can call 559-416-9285 for more information. We invite all golfers in the area to come out and join us and bring your best game. Helping sick children is a great cause, so come join the Elks for this very special event. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to come up?
Mayor, council, staff, here tonight to discuss with you a problem I'm having up in Brookfield.
State your name, please.
Oh, Brian Ware, Bullhead City, sorry. Up in Brookfield Homes Development, specifically property 230-23-032, it's owned by Brookfield Homes Development. I have the property next door at 2633 Wilderness Lane, and that property was sold to us with the idea that that would be a park, which I'm sure is exactly what you approved and what is permitted to be there. However, 18 inches off the property line, I have a sub pump or a booster pump, I'm sorry, and a 90-gallon bladder. That booster pump is running all night long. So I'm just wondering if there's permits for this, if in Brookfield's plan they discuss that they might need to do this. Is this a lack of water pressure coming from the city? What's going on here? Because I see permits being given to keep growing this community and pushing houses out, but the water pressure's not there to reach it. So now we're putting in these booster pumps and I have to listen to it all night long. It's literally 18 inches off the property line, 15 feet from the front door, 15 and 18 feet from the lanai patio that's supposed to look over this park. This isn't what I bought. What are we gonna do to fix this? And what are we gonna do to make sure these guys are following the rules and putting in pumps that are permitted and, you know, inspected? So this is where I'm at. You know, this is a problem. It's going on all night long. And I think there may be other people in the audience that are gonna speak on it. I'm not sure, but I know the community is getting really upset about this. So if you could please address this, I'd appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Scotty from Bullhead. You did start the meeting a little early. Your lawyer wasn't even here yet. But really didn't pertain to anything, so. I did ask Gene there if the fire department was exempt from renting the place money-wise. So, because you started the meeting before I got here. You weren't supposed to start it. Whatever, it's done. I'm not going to the Attorney General over it. But this is what bothers me about some of the stuff that goes on in this town. You gave $20,000 to a certain organization a meeting or so ago, and you go on vacation to their house in Bermuda. That looks bad. Oh, shake your head, whatever. To me, it looks bad. It's just like the community park down there. I was not able to advertise on their billboard because I'm not a chamber member. But you guys are but you guys could. I couldn't. That's my property down there that you have leased to it, and we're a member of that, the Chamber of Commerce. And that is going to the Attorney General very soon. I want people to know about this stuff that's going on in Washington, D.C., that they're taking down some departments. There are over 400 federal agencies, 400 damn agencies that we're funding. Some of them need to go away. maybe we're not doing it in the right way, and according to some of the judges, they're going to have some people come back to their jobs, but whatever. Now, again, I've asked the newspaper to Senate Bill 1036. I don't know how many of you guys read this. Everything you guys did during the election on 416, I'm not done with 416. I'm going to try and trash it. John Kavanaugh has passed this bill in the Senate, and Hildy voted for it. But the newspaper won't print it. Nor our local one. This one thing here, quite an article about it. They printed it in the Lake Havasu paper. They didn't cheat down there. Gilbert did. This is because of Gilbert and you guys violating the election laws. And that is going to the Attorney General very soon. Everything that's in here is everything you guys did. Senate Bill 1036. Read it. And you'll see yourself in the mirror, especially you people that made that video. I'm going after you guys. What else I got here? Yeah, I guess that's it. Well, I check out. Well,
thank you.
Started 1, 2, 3, 4 section.
All right, before we move on to the next one, since I was personally attacked again, I'm allowed to comment on that. I said before I wasn't going to reply to ignorance. However, if you're going to look at my Facebook page to see where I went on vacation, first of all, it was not Bermuda. It was the U.S. Virgin Islands for 10 nights, followed by 3 nights in the British Virgin Islands. And if you look, there's pictures of where I stayed. And actually, we took 14 couples from Bullhead City out there. We kind of had a Bullhead City in the Virgin Islands out there. But the Airbnb that I stay at, I've been staying at for years. And if you go on the Airbnb site, it's, I believe, the third or fifth Airbnb place on there. And I'd be happy to show you the receipts from my vacation if it would satisfy you to quit coming up here with these ignorant comments. Thank you. Mr. Pryor?
Good evening, everybody. My name is Harvey Pryor. I'm here from Bullhead RC. And I just want to give a big shout out and a thank you to Bullhead City for all the support and everything you're giving us there at Rotary Park, and all the fun where you've got planned in the future. So on this Sunday, about 9 o'clock in the morning, on the Treadless Trail, 1734 Cottontail Lane, over here across from Palo Verde Medical, we're gonna have another trail crawl out there. It's a 1 mile loop. Please wear some decent shoes and bring some water with you, and love to get some people out there with us and do some RC trail running. Today we was out there at the airfield doing some drag racing, just having a great time. I know there's a lot of big plans coming for the 8-scale track. I know there's some guys over there, the Bullhead RC 8-scale off-road racers. They have got a fantastic group going on. So if you're going through the park and you look over there and you see a big crowd, go check it out. You're really going to be impressed with what you see and the way these guys handle those rigs. You never know, you might get handed a controller and said take a lap. I know they're going to be doing it for the novice and the tent scale, not just the big ones, but they're going to let some of the normal folks out there with the tent scales, if you feel like you want to be a racer, get out there and race with them and stuff. So I'm hoping to join them. There's a bunch of us that are all going to be getting the RC cars and going out and join them. So if you see us at Rotary Park out there ripping it around, come on by. I'll be happy to hand you a controller and let's see how fast you can go. So, Bullhead RC, we're on Facebook. Give us a like and a follow. Y'all have a beautiful day. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
Captain John Birch of the Salvation Army, Bullhead City. I just want to let you know what we do over the Salvation Army Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We hand out family food boxes to individuals who are in need. They do have to qualify, that be low income, in order to come and get those. And so we have a paperwork for that. And that's from 9 a.m. Through 12 p.m. And then we also do homeless food bags during that time. In the afternoons on Tuesday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we also do the homeless food bags. We give out clothes vouchers as well for individuals who need clothes through fire or if they're experiencing homelessness and they've been 3 months, they can get five pieces of clothing, basically five outfits of clothing and one pair of shoes, just so that anyone on the street are able to clothe themselves. Also for the fire victims, we also help once they find a new location, we help them with any furniture that is donated through the Salvation Army, do our best to help furnish their new place. And then we also do homeless showers in the afternoon on those days. And so that's becoming more popular. During these months, it's a cooler water, but pretty soon it's going to become warmer and warmer. We haven't figured out a ice cooler yet to cool down the water during this during the summer months. But we always have water available to anyone that even walks through the thrift store or in our social services that needs water. We have a water container there with cups, and then we also have lots of bottled water that we give out if anybody is thirsty throughout the day. If on Tuesdays when our social services is closed, we allow homeless to come and sit on furniture in our thrift store if it's during the summer months or even during the winter months, they just need a place to be. Typically, they'll get me or my wife and just trying to chit-chat with them, see if they have any other needs. But we do what we do as much as possible. We do our best to help those most in need, and we do that by making sure that they fill out the paperwork and get checked out on that, on their income qualifications. So that's what we kind of do, and just trying to help out as much as we can. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Good evening, Mayor, Council, Gary Genovese, Bullhead City. Well, Easter is just around the corner, and I represent the Colorado River Historical Society and Museum, your local hometown, little white building, that tells you everything you may want to know about a history of our area and the fauna and flora that accompanies this vicinity. Now we have not just the old dusty antiquated things that float around in museums, we also have individuals that come and talk to this. We've had John West, who is a renowned Arizona and possibly nationwide photographer that does pictures of wildlife and flowers and whatever, and river scenes and whatever. He's pretty well known, and he's been there twice over the past month or so. And also Luis Vega, who is a geologist and a search and rescue expert. So he's also been one of our speakers there. So it's quite informative to come and check up on your local hometown museum and find out what's going on. But none of this is possible, as you all well know, without a donation. And the donations for this Easter fundraiser will be brought to you by the Ham Man, who is back. Now, we are going to have our honey-baked ham donations for Easter. Now, let me put it this way. Some have said that when a honey-baked ham is put upon the Easter table, that an aura, a glow, emits from this dinner centerpiece. Now, I can't attest to that personally, but who am I to doubt? So if you're interested in possibly a divine, heavenly dinner of a honey-baked ham, which is deliciously sweet on the interior, slightly salty, and a crusty surface on the outside, which crunches to the bite, then you might entertain the fact of calling Susanna Van Sloten at 928-234-4807. And you can place your order with her for a honey-baked ham, and it will be delivered to the Bullhead City area. But I'll save a little bit more for the next city council meeting. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Next.
Hard act to follow, isn't it? I'm Eva Genovese, and I have two things that I'd like to tell you about. The first one is the Bullhead City Celebrity Cook-Off, and it's going to be to benefit the food bank. And it's this Saturday, March the 8th. Please put it on your calendar. And it's going to be at the Chamber downstairs, Chamber of Commerce downstairs. And it's $40 per ticket or $320 per table. Now, I believe the city has a table there already, and I've also purchased one for our group. It's a delicious barbecue dinner, and sounds like fun. It starts at 5 to 8, and it's at the Chamber of Commerce downstairs. The other thing I want to tell you about is we care for animals. You know, I'm an animal person, and this is for cats, and we're doing a St. Patrick's theme on the 16th, which is a Sunday, at Mojave Steakhouse. It starts at from 2 to 4, and it's always a lot of fun. Please dress up in your best St. Patrick outfit, okay? Thank you, and I hope you guys will come. And again, that's at Mojave Steakhouse from 2 to 4 on Sunday.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? All right, we're going to close the call to the public. I just wanted to make an announcement for some new people that might be watching on TV or even in the audience. Realize that when people come up to us with issues during the call to the public, that we cannot answer them unless they attack you personally. That's why sometimes you see us here kind of looking stone-faced when somebody comes up. But I will ask Mr. Ware if you could give your contact information to either the city clerk, or we have Travis Pruitt, assistant city manager back there, so we could have somebody get back to you on your issue. And I will attest to the hams. They are delicious. I don't know about the glowing part. I'd be a little worried if the ham was glowing, but they are good. And with that being said, agenda modifications. Are there any items to be withdrawn from or moved to the appropriate place on the agenda? If not, I'll take a waiver motion, please.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to waive the reading in full of all ordinances and resolutions presented for adoption at this meeting.
Second.
All right, cast your votes.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Manager's report.
Thank you, Mayor D'Amico. Real briefly, from the call to the public, we do charge the fire department. We have it's a very minor amount to cover some of our staff time and equipment. They do rent our facility. We think it's a great place for them to meet and hold their meetings. And then also, I don't disagree with Mr. Ware. We'll find out where Fox Creek and Brookfield are at with their pump. It's a developer required addition to the development. So I'm not sure why they're still using the temporary system. Mark Clark would know. He's not here this evening. He went home not feeling the greatest. So we'll get back to him on that issue. But I don't think anybody wants that outside their property. I agree with him on that for sure. Also, not on my report, but I did want to make note that the council did go down and tour the animal care facility this afternoon, starting at 3:30. And got to see some of the internal workings of the remodel of the former Mojave Valley Daily News, and it's looking great. It seems like the contractor is on schedule, and the work is going as well as I think any of us could have predicted. Bill McMillan from the newspaper was there, so he was given access as well, so I would assume he'll be writing up, and he took plenty of photos that he can share as well. It is a working construction site, so we can't have the public in there, but it is going very well. And of course, today we opened up our senior enrichment center at 8 o'clock this morning, and if you didn't have a chance to make it over there for the first day, it'll be open every day. So there'll be a schedule that Kim Kuhl and her team have posted. And it's a beautiful facility, and you don't have to go there just to be part of a class. You can go there to use the computer or make a puzzle, play darts. It's a beautiful, beautiful, modern facility for those 50 and above in our community. And I would encourage everybody to go check it out when they have the time over the coming weeks, and find some time to enjoy it and immerse yourself, become a volunteer, make it a great facility. It's right here on Train Road, right next to the Senior Nutrition Center. Those buildings are now connected. That was, I think the mayor announced, about a $3.5 million project, with about $1 million of that coming from community development block grants. So the federal monies we are receiving are very well tracked, very well audited, and I think we can say that that was $1 million of federal funds that we put to great use. You'll see it when you go into that facility. First on my report, Chief Treves is going to talk about the red light enforcement and what his team has been doing on the streets. Chief?
Thank you, City Manager Cotter. Mayor, Council, good evening. Last year, near the end of the calendar year, we were getting some complaints about red light violators out on the highway, most specifically in the areas between Hancock and Riverview. And so we put together some details. We started off with, I think it was approximately three-week detail on the first one, and then about a handful of details since then to address this issue. And to date, we have had 222 hours out enforcing just red lights in that area on the highway. We've had 181 stops, 157 citations total, dealt with two collisions. Of those citations, 110 of them were red light violations. We've had 24 warnings, 13 arrests, and one 20-day impound on a vehicle. So we will continue to address this issue periodically. I do believe, just looking at the stats from detail to detail, we are making at least some impact. And I did look at the numbers from accidents over last year. On the highway, we were down approximately 30 or 40, I don't remember the number now, from the previous year, so we were under that 400 mark. So I think our enforcement is making an impact. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief. But as we all know, we're going to keep that enforcement up. We, you know, averaging more than an accident a day on the highway, and we're all going to keep working hard to get those numbers down. And I appreciate the enforcement and the continued enforcement and the red light running. We just have got to get that under control, and the chief is doing everything in his power with his team to do that. But you know, part of that is through our elected officials and your outreach with your constituents. Got to tell people to stop running red lights. It's just a key thing that you all can help us out with, and anybody listening, talk to your family, friends, kids. I mean, we're going to keep giving tickets, so there will be enforcement again in the future. Just two other real brief items. We are in the middle of our spring sporting season, as most of you know. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday is the high school and Bullhead City Tournament of Champions softball event. That's at Mojave High School and all of the city softball fields. There will be a lot of people in town for that girls' premier softball tournament. And then pretty much every weekend through May, there's always something going on. Businesses, community, just everyone kind of keep an eye out for that. Primarily the events are at either Mojave High School or at any one of our city parks. One of the bigger track meets is coming up in a few weeks. And of course, more soccer, softball, things that are happening in our parks. And then at our next meeting, we'll be talking more about summer camp. The council knows that we've, for the last couple years, had a really great summer camp program for Bullhead City and area youth. And at our next meeting, you'll be hearing from Dave Heath, Claire Adams, and their team about the upcoming summer camp. Registration will open on April 1st. So you'll start thinking about last year's summer camp and getting your kids registered when that opens on April 1st. But you'll get a full report on that at the next meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Mayor and Council Members, reports on current events. Anybody have anything?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I do a lot of volunteer work when I'm not up here, and I want to just recognize a couple of people here. I volunteer at the Veterans Court across the way, and Cindy Frizzell and the Tri-State Military Moms are awesome. They give every guy going through the Veterans Court a little snack bag without fail every week. They try to help people out over there and make them feel good. It makes a big difference to the people in the Veterans Court. I also want to mention Catholic Charities, a lady named Natasha Taggart, helping a couple of my veterans get housing, going above and beyond the duty to help out with that. I also volunteer down at the food bank in Bullhead behind Praise Chapel. And I'm usually there Thursday nights because that's the night they stay open till 8 o'clock. If you don't know, Bullhead Food Bank is open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, just like the guys at the Salvation Army. You don't need to be desperate to get some food down there. All you need to do is have an ID card, and you can get on the program, and they'll give you around 60 pounds of food almost every day. Volunteering last year, a good night that we, on a Thursday, we would feed 120 families. Right now, they're nailing 200. It's increased a lot. So we always need people down there to volunteer. So if you got an hour to give, you help pull some carts or load some bags, it's always something that makes you feel good at the end of the day. And it's all people from all walks of life, just people having a tough time. And the food bank is a good program, and I stand behind everybody that volunteers. He volunteers down there. There's a lot of people in the out here that volunteer. So I thank you for all the people that volunteer, and thank you, Military Moms. You guys are awesome.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Yes, Mayor D'Amico. I just wanted to say quickly, I did attend the Wings and Wildlife Along the Colorado River event at the Colorado River Historical Museum. It was outstanding. If you have not been to the museum, it's located in Community Park, and I do recommend paying a visit.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right, consent agenda. If there's no items to be withdrawn from the consent agenda, I'd like to take a motion to approve it.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second the motion.
Cast your votes.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Item number 2.
Item number 2, discussion and possible action to approve 1, the purchase of a new Road Saver RS-3G domestic two-pump PTO slurry micro-surfacing machine from E.D. Antar & Company of Oregon, Illinois, in the amount of $477,003, plus applicable sales tax and freight, and authorizing the city manager or his designee to issue resultant payments, and 3, waiver the competitive bidding pursuant to Section 3.37.030D of the Bullhead City Municipal Code as being in the best interest of the city.
Mayor D'Amico, council members, our Public Works Director Angie Johnson will present this item.
Thank you, Mr. Cotter. I would just like to give you guys an update on the slurry program for this year. Right now, we have placed 770,529 square yards of slurry material. That's 16.22% as of last week. Our goal is 20%. We're in Chaparral right now. We're gonna end up going back up to the parkway, and then we'll do a few other streets, weather permitting. So tonight, thank you, Toby, Mr. Cotter, Mayor and Council, I think I said that, but this is a request to purchase a new slurry truck for our street maintenance program. The new slurry truck would replace our old slurry truck that is in our fleet. The truck that we're replacing or would replace was purchased in 2016. It was used the 2016-2017 slurry season. Back in 2015, staff did a lot of research. They did go out and look at different slurry trucks, and this was the recommended one at that time. Back in 2020, we came back and asked for a second slurry truck, and we also requested to purchase the same piece of equipment due to the parts and everything is uniform. The truck is, you know, the guys know how to use it. Otherwise, we'd have to learn how to use two different pieces of equipment, have multiple different parts on hand, different box spreaders to add to the trucks. Right now, we're able to set the box spreader down. The guys pull the truck away, back the other one in, take off and go. If we had a different, you know, a total different unit, it would be a little difficult for the staff. Also, this truck originally was Reiner. Reiner was bought out by Bearcat. Bearcat was bought out by Aetna. So the company is still the same company. It's just been bought out by two other companies. And also, I know warranty is always a question. So the truck itself would come with a 24-month, 250,000 warranty on the chassis. The standard service heavy duty, which is the basic warranty for major components, like the engine, transmission, drivetrain, this is a 12-month or 100,000.
It also has another warranty on it. This is to cover the software updates to the engine. This is included in the quote. This is 5 years or 100,000 miles. This is for the emissions. I stand for any questions.
I don't have any questions. I'd just like to thank you for being completely prepared. I was going to play lawyer and ask you a question I already knew the answer to on why we waived the competitive bidding so the public and the council would have an answer, and you already did that, and you are getting to know our vice mayor very well, that he was going to ask you about the extended warranty, so thank you for being prepared. Does anyone else have any questions or comments? All right, anyone from the audience?
Good evening again, Harvey Pryor. Ms. Johnson, how long before delivery of this once you get approved?
So this truck, we would put the deposit down this budget year, and that's what is budgeted for this year, is just a deposit. The truck won't show up till probably August or early September, right before the new season starts.
Okay, and once you get this truck, or the older truck that's 10 years old, will you keep both of them in service, or are you gonna sell this original truck? What will happen with that?
I did not talk about that, but we would look at selling it. We have done some research. We're looking at anywhere from 100 to 150,000 is what we're thinking we'll get for the truck, but if we put it up for auction, we'll see what we get for bids.
Okay. And you went over the warranty on the chassis and everything. The slurry system itself, if anything goes wrong with that, is this a piece of equipment that has to be sent to Las Vegas to be worked on, or is this something that can be worked on here?
During the warranty period, it'll be the vendor. Our staff has been working on these units for, well, the last almost 10 years, you know, 7 years, so they're very familiar with the trucks, and our mechanics have been sent down to the place to be taught how to work on these. We only have to go to Wickenburg for these.
Cool. All right. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Scotty from Bowhead. Angie, in the white book back there, it didn't say anything about the applicable taxes and the freight. How much is that going to? We're talking about coming from Illinois with a 10-wheeler. Any idea what the, how are we gonna get it here? Are we gonna go get it?
The truck will actually be delivered to Wickenburg.
And then we'll pick it up in,
yes,
Wickenburg.
Yeah, it's actually purchased through Wickenburg, but it's through the dealer or through the manufacturer. We have to purchase the truck through the manufacturer, but we'll actually be picking it up in Wickenburg.
Oh, we're almost up. Well, by the time you add taxes, it's going to be $500,000. And is the warranty going to start when we get it here or in Illinois? Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? All right, I'll entertain a motion, please.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve item 2 as read.
Second motion.
Cast your votes.
Count. 7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Item number 3.
Item number 3, discussion and possible action to approve the purchase from CXT Precast Concrete Products of Spokane Valley, Washington for a new precast concrete bathroom for the UTV-ATV trailhead parking lot in the amount of $219,665.39 plus allowable contingency in the amount of $20,000 for a total cost not to exceed $239,665.39, and authorize the city manager or his designee to issue resultant payments on behalf of the city.
Mayor D'Amico, council members, our public works director will address this item, and also our assistant city manager, Eddie Gajera, is here to answer any questions about the applicable grant that is paying for a significant portion of this project.
Thank you, Mr. Cotter, Mayor and Council. The item that is for you is for a precast restroom for the new UTV-ATV project. This is under a Sourcewell contract purchase. This is a budgeted item. The lead time for this restroom is about 5 to 6 months, so we're looking early summer before we actually see the restroom. This is partially funded by the Arizona State Parks and Trails Grant, and also we did actually put this out to bid as a stick build. Same restroom as the one that was in Community Park. Bids came in extremely high, over 300,000. We rejected all bids and started looking at a precast restroom. Also, I know there's been some questions about the baby changing, adult changing stations. There is a Arizona statute that states that any public entity, public funds, that we have to install a adult changing station in the restroom. If there's room, we also need to install a baby changing station. This also is like if it's over a $50,000 project, a complete remodel. This is why we got to put this in the bathroom. And I stand for any questions.
Can you let the public know how much the grant will cover?
Eddie?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Off the top of my head, we did get awarded $1,398,000 for the grant. About 800,000 of that came from federal recreational trails, and then we did have OHV ATV funding from Arizona State Parks and Trails for about 300,000, and then Bullhead City had 100,000 in there for contingency. The goal, as of right now, I understand we have spent about $1.1 million, and the goal is to utilize the full Arizona State Parks and Trails portion for the remainder of this restroom. So if anything, I think we might just be coming in to cover probably 10 or 20,000, but everything should be covered by the grant. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone have any questions, comments?
I think Angie can answer the question. Now, I know we have a lot of lighting out there. How about cameras?
What's that?
How about cameras?
We don't have any cameras planned right now.
Will there be any?
We could look at it.
Yeah, Council Member, I think I mentioned you when we were meeting earlier in the week that that area is pretty secluded and we want to make sure that we have security out there. So can't pay to have park rangers sitting out there. So cameras are really the only way to do that. So we certainly will look at our fully capable camera system out there. Again, it's only for, you know, things that we can report on. Certainly wouldn't stop a crime in progress if something were to happen out there. But then again, you know, those cameras will come in handy to solve crimes just like they do in our other parks.
Thank you very much, Mr. Carter. And thank you very much, Angie.
Any other questions, comments? Anyone from the audience?
Harvey Pryor again. One quick question. I'd been up there and I hadn't seen any sewer lines and stuff. Is this like a bathroom that's like a honeypot thing? We're going to have to pay somebody to come pump it out?
All the sewer and water lines are actually in the ground. So when the restroom shows up, we'll set it down on the ground and then they'll just plumb up into the bathrooms.
Okay.
So that's all there.
Didn't think that there was any lines out there. That's why I was kind of, okay. Right, thanks.
Anyone else? All right. I'll entertain a motion, please.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept item 3 as stated.
I second.
Cast your votes.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Item number 4.
Item number 4, discussion and possible action to adopt resolution number 2025-R-8. Directing staff actions to seek transfer of National Park Service lands not within the Lake Mead National Recreation Area to the city for public benefit.
Mayor D'Amico, council members, this item, if I could ask our staff on TV4 to bring up the map that's in the packet, it's a little bit easier for the public to see what we're talking about. There's a blue outline of lands outside of Lake Mead National Recreation Area in the city limits that we've certainly been looking at over the years. And we have three current permits on those parcels. One, Heritage Park, which most people wouldn't know, that's the land south of the bridge. So there's acreage south of the bridge. We already have the permit on that through the county. It's owned by the federal government, National Park Service. And then on the other side, there's two beautification projects we've done on either side of the parkway, Highway 95 and the parkway. You'll see two little landscaping projects. We've had those permits for quite a while on those projects. And so we've been talking to the National Park Service about those particular areas and wanting to expand those areas and beautify those areas, which has led us down a deeper conversation of what is the National Park Service ever going to do with these lands? And the answer is nothing. No plan, no money, they'll never do anything. That's been consistent, right? Because they've always owned these lands and nothing has ever been done on them ever. And so while we don't have a current park plan for those lands, certainly, well, it's kind of, and I don't know if our staff can rotate that because most people would look at that and say that's not like gonna help them because the river runs the other way. So if we can turn that north and south, that would be very helpful. If not, I think we all know where the lake is, where the pay area is. These are lands in the city limits across from Davis Camp, up Highway 68, over 68, not inside the fee area, but leading up to the lake. Again, what would the city do with those? Well, certainly we have three leases on them now. There's things like right turn lanes, you know, highway safety improvements that we're limited on right now because it's federal lands. Also, the beautification, if we want to go up closer to the airport and beautify that area, we're restricted on where our permit's at. And then that area across from Davis Camp, I mean, there are options for the future, and that might be way down the road. That might not even be in our lifetimes, but it gives the city an opportunity to plan for that for the future, and having this potential 900 acres or so on the north side of the community for public access, for public use. It is the public's land, and it's outside of the pay area for Lake Mead. So either the federal government can hold it forever and do nothing with it, or the city can take some actions. Now, there's no guarantee that Congress and President Trump will sign this over to the city. However, I think we make a very compelling case that for the public good, this area outside Lake Mead would be in better hands with the city. Of course, it would be for public purpose. Well, what's public purpose? Well, it's parks, recreation, streets, water, sewer, things that we would do on any public land. It wouldn't be for sale. It wouldn't be for mining. It wouldn't be for anything like that. It would be for city public purpose in the future, much like the land that Mayor D'Amico and staff got on the river from the state of Arizona, much like some of the other lands that we've gotten from the state. They're for public purpose. So we believe that it would actually give the public greater access to these lands, greater access to see them develop sometime in the future. And again, this is very much in the future and no guarantee that it would happen. Now, why do we believe now would be the time for it to happen? I don't believe there's been any other time in the city's history where we've had a congressional delegation, a president who's more interested in letting people utilize the lands of the federal government. We have a great relationship with the federal government. We are sitting in a building that's on federal land. Much of what we do is with our partners at the Bureau of Land Management and the Bureau of Reclamation and the National Park Service at Lake Mead. So in our discussions with them and in our congressional delegation, we believe that the timing may be right to pursue this legislation. If it doesn't work out and Congress doesn't pass a bill, it doesn't happen. If President Trump doesn't sign it, it doesn't happen. But if it does, it gives the city a plan and an opportunity to provide additional access to public lands. So what could go there? I asked Mayor Brady years and years ago what his thoughts were across from Davis Camp. He was running Davis Camp at the time, and he said, well, he envisioned maybe a golf course or hiking trails or biking trails or all kinds of different things that were going through his mind. Well, what's going through your mind might be different than future elected officials, future city managers. but it gives us the opportunity to have that land subject to future development and planning and, of course, finances. So there's no current plan, which, you know, some people could argue, well, if you don't have a plan, don't take it. Well, I can promise you the federal government never has had a plan and never will have a plan for this land. It will stay the way it is forever if it's held as part of the Lake Mead National Recreation Area. So that's the issue, Mayor and council members, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
And I'd just like to add, this is just a small part of long-term goal that we have in the city. When I got on the council 10 years ago, we had no land. Now we own the land at Sudden Link and are available to do improvements there. We own the old newspaper company, which is going to have a new state-of-the-art shelter. We got the Veterans Peninsula awarded to us that we were paying to lease for over, 35 years. And even the land that this chamber, all our offices, City Hall sits on is leased from BLM. A lot of the land in town is state land and federal land that in the same thing. There's no plans for it ever to be used. It's not maintained by the state or the federal government. So this is just one small piece. We're actually going after more state land this year too, which I think we got a very good shot of getting. But it's a big key. We might not be the ones developing a bike trail or any of this, but we need to have it for the future for our city. So I recommend that everybody approve this. And if you have any more questions or comments, now's the time.
Yes, Mayor D'Amico, I just wanted to say a word in favor of this item. If this were to come to fruition, I definitely see the local benefit.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone from the audience?
Scotty from Bolthead. I know you guys are going to pass this, but I want to know who's going to be responsible for the highway. I guess that's Highway 68. Now, you guys made me move my signs, political signs. They're going on McCormick Boulevard down at the bottom. Did you have authority last year to do that? On federal land, you made me move my signs.
I can answer that question.
I know what it is. You told me. Now, who's going to be in charge of this road? And the stoplights, are we going to be doing those? We have a bad enough time in town here.
Highway 68 would still remain controlled by the Arizona Department of Transportation. So just like now, Lake Mead doesn't have anything to do with the highway. The highway would stay with the state, that portion of 68. But the land that you're talking about that's on both sides of McCormick, then that would ultimately, if this were passed, then that would be city land where campaign signs could be placed. Right now, you cannot place campaign signs on federal property.
Yeah, I know. Still missing my.
Anyone else? All right, I'll entertain a motion, please.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve item 4 as read.
Second.
Cast your votes.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Item number 5.
Item number 5, update on key state of Arizona legislative activities in 2025 and general areas of focus for the legislature in the continuing session.
Mayor D'Amico, council members, Assistant City Manager Travis Pruitt will address this. He and the mayor, as you know, are authorized by city motion to go to Phoenix and advocate, and I appreciate all the work they've done this year and in years past. Travis will update us on the features and things that are happening this year down in Phoenix.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Thank you, City Manager Cotter. Yeah, a lot of stuff going on down at the Capitol. They've been busy. So far, they've introduced about 1,800 bills, similar to past years, a little bit higher, probably about 200 bills higher. But, you know, as these bills kind of work their way through it, as you know, a lot of them don't get passed or for whatever reason. So last year, about 290 of those bills got passed, so similar numbers. So we'll see what happens this year. So we talked earlier about land and looking for and securing land for the city of Bullhead City. One of the bills that the mayor did a lot of initial groundwork on to get this kind of moving forward was House Bill 2769, Sovereign Land Transfer to Bullhead City. What that is a bill asking that about a little over 37 acres of land be transferred to the city. This is sovereign land. So what it is there's a peninsula behind Palo Verde Meadows. That's a big piece of the land. And then there's about three islands that sit just behind the red condos. All of those encompass the 37 plus acres that we were looking at and asking that be transferred. You may ask why and what's the plan with that. And really, you know, a lot of that stems from the residents because they wanted to do weed control and worried about fire and things like that, homelessness kind of invading over there. So, again, the mayor did a lot of the initial groundwork to get this set up. And right now it's moved through the first committee in the House. So it's on its kind of next week it'll be heard in the House. Looks good, like it'll move forward, and then it should move to the Senate, and we expect it to go through and pass. So once that passes, it'll be similar to what we did in previously with the Veterans Peninsula and also some of the boat docks. So we expect that to go through, but we'll keep you informed as that one progresses. Also, in previous years, there was a lot of activity around zoning. One of the bills that relates to zoning is Senate Bill 1353. It's called Municipal Development Permit Review. And there's actually two bills that are really similar, 1353, and there's a House Bill 2866. Both of them kind of are trying to do the same thing. So basically, they're putting some limits on the timeline to approve permits. So you have the city would have a very limited time to approve a permit and actually do an inspection. You get like 2 days to do an inspection. Now, if that doesn't happen, then the developer would have the authority to hire a third party to do the plan review for residential and business, and then also do the inspection and just consider it approved based on that third party. You know, there's some elements of that really are undefined that because, you know, okay, who is this third party? What's their qualifications? Are they biased? Is this someone's brother? Who knows? So it really needs a little bit more thought to that particular bill. But basically, that's what it would do. It would take the plan review element out of the city and put it in a third party's hands. So something we're watching closely, and we'll see how it progresses. Right now, it's actually looks so it originated in the Senate. It's still being heard in the Senate right now, but it's close to getting to the point where it'll cross over to the House. So we'll have to watch it and see how it progresses. Also, there is Senate Bill 1013. It's municipalities, counties, fee increase vote. So I'll read this bill. The council of the municipality may not levy or impose an increase in any assessment, tax, or fee without a two-thirds majority vote of the council. So any fee, tax, or anything that was intended to be increased here, you would need five votes to get that passed. So something, you know, it's interesting. We're watching as it progresses just to ensure that we make sure we're in compliance with whatever the outcome is. So this bill would actually apply to the county too. So it'd be the same thing for the county. At this point, that bill has made it, it started in the Senate, so it made it out of the Senate and it crossed over to the House. So it'll go to the House Majority Caucus next week to get a reading and review. So we'll watch that one also, see how it progresses. And another one, Mayor did a really good job laying the groundwork on is the highway funding for Highway 95. So you may remember last year we were able to secure some funding to do right turn lanes on Highway 95. So we're going back again this year working with Representative John Gillette, asking again, can we expressing the need for some additional funding to get more right turn lanes put in. Again, increasing the safety and also the flow of traffic around Highway 95. So this particular bill, I have a meeting later in the week with Representative Gillette. We'll talk through it and see what the options are. But it'll really start to materialize and figure out what's going to happen as they get closer to the budget session. So that's generally at the end of the session, so we'll have a better sense at that point. But like I said, the mayor has kind of laid the groundwork and expressed the importance of it, so we'll continue to move that forward. One other bill, it's a particular interest. It doesn't really impact us, but there's a, you've probably heard about Arizona's current resolution 2021, which is the food tax bill. Again, as you all know, we don't necessarily have a food tax here, but they are proposing across Arizona to limit the level of food tax. Initially, the plan was to remove food tax altogether, so any groceries, any of those items, cities would not be able to tax them. There's been some revisions to the bill, so it looks like now they're proposing that the food tax would not be above 2%. So any city that's already higher than 2%, if the bill passed, they'd have to reduce it to 2%. It's still moving through, so we'll see how it progresses. For us, no direct impact on us because we don't have a food tax, but there are some cities that are expecting to be significantly impacted if it does pass. So we'll keep an eye on it. That's what we do. So we'll see how that progresses. And then also finally, I'll just add, I touched on it a little bit, but the budget typically gets going at the end of the session. That's where, you know, things will get interesting. Of course, as you can imagine, a lot of the delegates, they're kind of in that wait and see mode with everything going on with the federal government, a little bit of uncertainty about how things will look for the Arizona budget. From an economic standpoint, historically, there's been some really good, the revenue coming in has looked better than what they thought. So the hope is that we'll have a really good budget that comes out, and then we can get some of these in priority items like the highway item funded as we go forward. So that is the conclusion of my report, and I stand for any questions.
I'd just like to add, I'd like to give a shout out and a lot of thanks for our state representatives mm-hmm. who work great with us and have helped us secure. We meet with them every year and let them know our needs, and they've really been coming through. Leo Biasucci is the one that's working with us on the state land transfer, and I'm with you. I feel 100% confident that that's going to go through. Matter of fact, when we met with Leo, I said, you get it to committee and we'll make sure it gets, we'll testify. And actually, I was all prepared, and this year, out of nowhere, when I'm on vacation, I get an email from you that it's going to committee. And I was like, oh, crap. If I had the money to get on an emergency flight and come back, I really wanted to. I would have been divorced, though. But Travis went out there and did a great job without me, and I have full confidence in the presentation he gave. And I'd just like to thank Leo again. He was the one that helped us secure the Veterans Peninsula, and I have full faith that we will get this one. And then on the other one, with the right-hand turn lane money, originally we were looking at getting about $18 million, now more that prices went up on everything. And John Gillette secured the first, I believe, $9 million for us, mm-hmm. which got correct. Swept from ADOT, I believe it was, or the state, whoever it may be. And then the next year, we went to John. He put it out again, and we got $8 million that year. And he's going to bat for us for another $8, $9 million this year. And I have about... I feel good about it. Not 100% confident as I am with the lands deal, but I am confident that we got a very good shot of getting those funds for these right-hand turn lanes now, too. And I'd like to give our assistant, not only John Gillette and Leo, but both of our assistant city managers, Eddie and Travis, a big pat on the shoulder, too, because we all work together on this as a team, and we do very well. So thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Good job.
Good job. And Mayor D'Amico, one other question. It's a little slightly off topic, but a question that keeps coming up on the federal legislative issues and finances. Over the years, we've been rarely getting federal appropriations, rarely. So the question comes up, you know, what are these federal cuts, or as they look at efficiencies and things in the federal government, are we impacted by any of that? Now, we celebrated CDBG today, which has been a bedrock of funding that we've received over the years. I attested this morning at the ceremony that the city has done an excellent job of receiving and spending those dollars on great projects. We've received some other federal COVID dollars that were put to appropriate use. We received a $2 million appropriation for a well, which has been put to appropriate use. There are no other programs, USAID or any other programs anyone will find in our city budget that are anything of waste, abuse, fraud. There are none. And so the federal funding that we've received over the years, we believe is fair and appropriate, whether it's CDBG or for transit, our Metropolitan Planning Organization. Again, there won't be any waste, abuse, or fraud found in any of our connectivity or connections with the federal government. We'll certainly keep watching those dollars and those relationships that we have with our federal partners. But from our perspective, these are all traditional programs that we've had. They endured through the first Trump administration. We believe they will endure through many, many administrations of the federal government. These programs have been long, long held here. So if anyone has any questions, certainly we could talk about that again in the future. And some of those funding, like CDBG, come through the state, right? It's federal dollars coming through the state to us. Federal transit dollars come from the feds to the state to us. Again, we're in no concern for those dollars. But if we do, we'll certainly let you know.
Anyone have any questions, comments? Anyone from the audience? All right. No action on this item. That concludes our meeting. Thank you, everyone. Have a great weekend.
PWCs are fast-moving, agile watercraft. Protect yourself by wearing goggles, gloves, and footwear. Stay away from the intake grate at the bottom of the PWC. Loose life jacket straps, bathing suits, or long hair can be sucked into the jet.